Good morning and welcome to the January 9th, 2023 meeting of the Chelan County Public Utility District Commission. I'd like to thank everyone for participating and remind you to silence any electronic devices that you may have with you today. And I want to just take this opportunity to just kind of pause here for a minute and do some welcoming. There's a lot of firsts here happening today. This is the first time, and somebody can correct me on my data here, this is the first time in probably 2 or 3 years that the full commission has met in person. Am I correct in that?
At least, I'd say.
At least 2 years.
At least that one.
If not three.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal. That's a... Hi, Gary. It's... And it's really the first time that all five of us have been present. And this is, I just want to take this opportunity that when you have a new commissioner join a board, it doesn't matter whether it's a school district or county commissioners or whatever, when you have one new person come onto your board, it is a new board. And so I'd like to take this opportunity for staff and the public to be introduced to the new Chelan County Commissioner Board of Directors, all five of us. And we're excited to get started, and I view this as a new board. And it's not just two people coming on board and trying to figure out how to fit in, but we all have to figure out how we're going to work together and continue to do good things for Chelan County PUD. And so I'm excited about that challenge. So I'd like to welcome Karnan and Kelly as new commissioners, and you'll be officially recognized in just a few minutes. But this morning I would like to start off with Carson with the Pledge of Allegiance. Welcome, Carson.
Good morning. I'm Carson Lutz. I'm a drafting technician down at Rock Island Dam, and be leading the pledge and then the HPI minute later. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Carson. We'll have you back in a few minutes to do the safety meeting. The other first that I forgot to mention is this is the first time that we have just been in person. We are not doing anything online today. So most of our meetings have an online presence for people to jump on, and today we're not doing that. So another first. At this time, I would like to welcome Mr. Skip Moore, our Chelan County Auditor, to join us up here with our new commissioners and swear in our commissioners.
I have a hard time public speaking.
I'm a pretty big door.
How do you want this? You want me over there? You want?
Come over here.
Wait a minute. Here, see if I can do it this way. We can do them both at the same time. No joke about that. Ready? I swear. Getting this on the recording. I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Washington, and will faithfully and impartially perform the duties of the office of Public Utility District Commissioner, District
B. Public Utility Commissioner, District
B. The best of my ability. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, that's right.
And we certainly want to take the opportunity to invite family to come up and take pictures with the commissioners.
I think they beat you to the
punch. Oh, did they already beat it?
So exciting. Pardon me if I smile the whole day.
Kelly, did you get your family up there?
Oh, I did not. No. Let's do this.
Steve, thanks for the time.
Stuck.
We'll show him where the cafeteria is for future meetings. So.
And this morning's scones are raspberry, and they're good.
There they are.
Yes.
And did Skip leave already?
He did.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much for the time. That was awesome.
I remember that.
We all do it.
Yep. Yeah.
Now if I just remember how to get this going again.
All right. Well, we're going to start off with giving the opportunity to make some decisions right off the bat. We're going to start off with approving the agenda today. And our agenda today will be very short. We have no resolutions this afternoon. And please, anybody can tell me, when have we ever had a meeting where there were no resolutions? That's not since I've been here, so there's no resolutions to vote on today. But we do need to approve the agenda. We have a consent agenda with the two items 7 and 8. For commissioners, any item that you ever want that's on the consent agenda that you want pulled off, you just need to say, I'd like to talk about something, and we can pull those and put those into our regular agenda. As well, on our agenda, typically our manager, this is an area where the control of the resolution, the consent agenda falls under the control of the manager. Obviously, we can pull things off to get information, but that falls under his realm. We can also take resolutions that are very clear to us, and we can put those, add those to the consent agenda as well. We typically do that, move things on and off, so it's a fairly fluid item. So, commissioners, anything you want to make a motion for our agenda?
We've got a couple items before that, if I think.
Oh, I have jumped ahead, haven't I? let's keep going.
Okay.
You're right, Randy. Thank you very much. I unfortunately, in my handwritten note, I put agenda up here. So we're going to, the first thing you're going to do is we're going to work on selecting election of our officers for leadership on the commission. And so, commissioners, do we have a nomination of slate of candidates for the 2023 leadership of this commission?
Mr. President, I'd like to submit a slate for consideration. And this is no reflection on our new commissioners today, other than they're new, and provide some time for them to get their feet wet and perhaps grab a little depth of the some of the issues and have an opportunity to look behind some curtains and see what we've been discussing. So with that in mind, what I might recommend is that Randy Smith would take the position as president, that I would remain as vice president, and this is to a large extent because of my other commitments that I already have with WPUDA and APPA, that they'll trail off, and that would buy me some time to perhaps move up the chairs at some later date, and that perhaps Steve could be vice president, and I would be secretary, and Randy would be president.
Okay.
Again, how long is the term?
Pardon me?
How long is this term? Is it just a yearly, or is it 2 years? What's the term of the office?
So for the commission that we're discussing right now, it's a one-year term.
It's a one-year term.
Okay. One-year term, yeah.
Okay.
So what would happen is that Randy would be president for, what I'm suggesting, is Randy would be president for a year.
Right.
The following year, my commitments trail off, and I'll have time to then move into that position. I suggest that I would be the secretary, which by that time I will have time to roll into that position. My commitments now are for a lot of commitments.
No,
I just don't have time.
I understand. I just, you know, because in the past that we've had sometimes it's 2 years. 1 year. I don't know if you remember that, Randy.
Yeah, we've done a variety of things.
Typically,
I'm just trying to make, you know, for clarification.
Yeah, typically it's been 1 year at a time.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
That has been the historical way of proceeding.
Well, I'll second your motion.
Okay. We have a motion and it's been seconded. Do we have any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. This time...
So you want to unplug and want me to go over
this? It's my pleasure.
you're on
my pleasure to turn this over.
And I would like to take a moment to thank Steve for his year that he spent as president and guiding us difficult times, doing such a wonderful job and having such a steady hand on the tiller. Steve, thank you. And I'm going to move. I guess we're going to do musical chairs because I will move over here.
We're not moving.
No.
Hi there.
Hey. Hope it wasn't something
like
that.
No.
I've got a next
time. Since I've already blown up.
I'm ready.
Oh, we're ready. Yeah.
I'm left-handed.
Oh,
right now. Did I leave my little picture back there?
Oh.
Right here. Right behind
you. Is this the one we're looking at?
And Carson, I apologize that we're delaying your safety minute, but we will get there. And McKenna's taller than me, so I have to raise this chair. Thank you all for your vote of confidence. And I, you know, McKenna took all of my talk about the firsts that were happening here this year, this time. No agenda, first time in person. But I got to thinking with all the excitement in the room today, with newly elected commissioners, it got me thinking back 16 years. Now I'm, I guess if you think about it, I'm the old guy in the room now, and I've been here for 16 years. But in that first year as a commissioner, probably the most special thing happened to me was my first grandchild. And that got me to think back, and I don't know how you guys are situated as far as preparing for grandchildren, but it changes everything. I think those of us that have grandkids understand that.
For sure.
And I think back of another previous commissioner that served with both Carnan and I, that's Norm Gutschweiler. I think he told me that when he started as a commissioner, he had no grandkids, and when he finished, he had 10. And that actually really caused him to reflect on, why am I still a commissioner? So anyway, I just brought this in as a reminder of this is a huge life-changing event. This also is a huge life-changing event, and it's a special moment.
So, Randy, if I can just jump in for a quick second, I want to say that until moments ago, I had not recognized the fact that when I became a commissioner, I had no grandchildren. Today, I have 5. So I don't know if it's something about being a commissioner or not. If it is, Carnan, you're in trouble. You got more kids coming.
It's contagious.
Right. Pressure on my daughter.
Wow.
So anyway, this is indeed a special day. And as Steve said, we are a new commission. And going forward, we're going to get, I'm sure, a lot of opportunity. And hopefully we'll all be able to work together to create those opportunities for us to get to know each other better, to understand how we work well, how we work best with each other. Those are all opportunities that we have in front of us, and I'm excited about this new upcoming commission that I'm going to be part of. So, anyway, let's get on with business.
Can I make a comment?
You bet.
I would just like to say officially welcome, Carnan and Kelly, to the board, and also want to say thank you to Commissioner McKenna. It was a transition year for me, and I spent a lot of time with Commissioner McKenna, and I really appreciate all the time you spent with me in my transition year as a general manager, and looking forward to working with this new board as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
And I don't know if Gary said it in his thanks to Steve, but we always give credit where credit is due, and you're the president of the commission that managed to finally get us all back together.
Yeah.
I mean, it took you giving up the gavel to do it. So thank you for this last year, and for, the COVID years have been difficult. So anyway, item 4 on our agenda is our safety minute. Carson.
There you go.
All right. Thanks for having me today. You ever taken a job and had the scope change wildly on you?
As a matter of fact, yes.
Okay. So the topic today I've chosen is situational awareness, and this is something that I try to keep in the back of my mind, because I'm someone who doesn't chew gum and walk really well at the same time. So the long definition is the deliberate perception of everything happening in the immediate space and time, the comprehension of its meaning, and the prediction of what may happen next. Or the short form, what's happened, what's happening, and what might happen. all kind of centered around you and your environment. And my focus today will be not what the organization can do to mitigate it, but and that's very broad, but what I can do personally. So we have some limitations, and this is part of what HPI is what are our limitations as humans, and what can we do? We can hold about 7 things in our brain at once, plus or minus 2. We tend to focus on one thing and make assumptions about everything else in the periphery. So something you can do to kind of give yourself a visual of this is you can take a playing card. I'm not going to do any magic tricks for you. I'm already shaking a little bit from being nervous. But I don't do this every day. You can pick one at random, and you can hold your hand out, and you can focus on that. And since I'm over 40, it's out here somewhere. And you can take that playing card, and you can move it in towards where you're focusing, but don't, you know, you'll really want to look at that card and see how close you can get before you can guess what it is. That was a pretty easy one. I don't know if it's a diamond or a heart, though. But if you want to embarrass yourself, that's a good way to do it, because you have to get pretty close to your thumb before you can find out what's going on. So just like your vision, your attention is the same way. It withdraws from some things to focus on other things. Or, said in a different way, the harder the task, the more the central region of attention is activated, and the more the surrounding region is suppressed, because we only have so much bandwidth. Magicians use this to their benefit and to the detriment of ours. They tend to make us want to focus on something so that they can get away with other things in the background. And it works really well, because the more we focus on how they're trying to do the trick, the harder it is to see what they're doing. Multitasking, unfortunately, is a myth. You can't pay attention to 2 or 3 things at once. Some people can switch back and forth really quickly, but usually to the detriment of any one thing. One way to find out just exactly what your limit is I once drove a full-size pickup into a parking garage below Key Bank in Seattle, and I was trying to, you know, hands-free device, talking to somebody, trying to back up in between a Lexus and a Mercedes in a very small spot, a 20-point turn, and then they say, "Hello, are you still there?" Which means I haven't been talking for the last few seconds. So that was my limit. I couldn't carry on a conversation while doing that.
Very wise of you not to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you do remember that it was a Mercedes and a Lexus.
you have to drop some things in order to stay responsible. Anyway, same thing, driving in snowy conditions. So what's the optimal solution? Serial attention. Pilots would call it focusing on one thing after another in the environment without paying too much attention to any one thing or getting distracted. And they also call it scanning. Because you can only hold these 7 things in your head, you have to look at one thing and another thing and another thing and make sure you kind of get a comprehensive view of your environment that way. The greater your individual capacity for short-term or working memory, the better you are at resisting sensory capture. Your ability to scan your surroundings breaks down when your attention gets stuck in a rut. So these are some examples. Some of you have seen the Rock Island plant, or any plant. These are the conditions that people are working in down there. Layers and layers of pipes, flashing lights, buttons, possible hazardous things in the environment. All the while, other crews are moving in and out, and now that we've got those rehab projects going on, there's quite a bit of this happening. Same thing in the control room, right? Alarms start going off, and these folks are trying to maintain just exactly what's going on in all of these screens. This is not our control room, but very similar. So, how do we do this best? How do we keep our serial attention? How do we stay scanning things in our environment? Because we have limitations, we need to reduce the amount of mental overhead. And none of these things that I'm going to list are things that we enjoy doing. We don't like hearing them, and we don't like doing them. It's difficult. The first one, be prepared. Study your task ahead of time. Visualize your task. Study drawings and photos. Talk to someone who's done that task before. Familiarize yourself with the area and the potential hazards. Being prepared keeps you from being distracted by new information that might come up. Consider the what-ifs in your tailgate and pre-task meetings. Minimize your total work and your scope ahead of time. Take care of tasks in low workload so you don't have to deal with them in high workload times. Reduce environmental hazards. As they say, do the dishes. Clean your gear. Fix your tools. Be self-aware. Recognize when you're fatigued, stressed, or becoming fixated. Are you irritable? That's a good time. There's a mounting problem. People will probably tell you. Get good sleep. High-performing athletes will tell you if sleep was a drug, it would be a banned substance. Getting good sleep improves your ability to think, solve problems, concentrate, and make good choices. I'm not going to throw stones here, but work on physical fitness. Also a thing that your doctor tells you that you don't like to hear. Concentrate on your baseline of fitness so that when unexpected things happen, you'll be able to deal with them. Eat nutritious food. Low blood sugar and dehydration can affect performance of your brain. Half hour of exercise per day can help you relax, reduce stress, sleep better. Make it a priority. And that's all I have for you. There's no magic bullet. All of those things that are hard to do, you have to do. But if we keep ourselves in good working order, we're more likely to predict what could happen and stay out of harm's way.
Thank you, Carson. Any questions or comments from commissioners?
Oh, there's a question.
So Carson, I have to make a comment. When I went through the board packet in preparation, I saw your slides and they absolutely fascinated me, and I could not wait to hear your presentation. And I want you to know you did not disappoint.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was very, very good, very insightful, and thought provoking. So thank you.
And I might also add that this was the perfect one for having my family here, because I'm sure my husband will tell you, I'm always saying you cannot multitask. And he doesn't agree with me.
Glad to have helped with that.
Well done. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Carson.
Okay.
Thank you, Carson.
Okay, item 5 is the approval of the agenda. Any commissioners desire any changes at this moment in time to the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda as is.
Okay. I second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as is. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Now, as was indicated earlier, this is a short agenda. We're at 10:30, and we're at our public comment period for our morning agenda. Is there any public comment? Sure. You bet. We will consider that a request, and we will get to it before we go into executive session. So, yes, you bet. So in that case, we will move into our what would normally be our afternoon session. We have a consent agenda that has been presented to us by staff. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is carried, and we are down to manager items.
Okay, this is another area of the agenda that the manager brings forward issues, mainly information, no decisions. I've got three of them this morning. I'd like to invite Heather Ireland up for the first one. Heather's our treasurer, and she is going to give us an update on a Standard and Poor's bond rating update.
Yes, good morning, commissioners. I'm happy to start off with a really positive manager's item for you. First morning here, first morning back. We did have an opportunity in 2022 to talk to all three of the rating agencies that evaluate the district's credit quality. Earlier in 2022, we talked to both Fitch and Moody's, and in December, we had the opportunity to discuss the district's credit quality with Standard & Poor's, or S&P. Myself and Kelly Boyd, our CFO, had that meeting, and we were able to share updates regarding the district's operational condition, our financial condition, new things going on at the management, board level, policy levels here at the district. And as an outcome of that review in December, S&P affirmed the district's credit rating. They issued a rating of AA+ with a stable outlook on our consolidated system bonds, and a double A rating on our Rock Island bonds. High credit ratings are very important to the district because they allow us to achieve lower borrowing costs in the external markets. They also help us in negotiations with counterparties, various agreements, such as power sales agreements. Some of the items that S&P highlighted in regards to the district's credit quality, I wanted to kind of read some of these off because they're pretty impressive. They included very robust debt service coverage metrics, meaning that the district is generating revenues sufficient to pay for our debt payments in every year. They also noted we have extremely strong liquidity and reserve positions, meaning that we have funds available should we need to draw on them in challenging circumstances. We have extremely competitive non-carbon emitting generating assets. The hydro facilities and plant assets are in excellent condition. They're operating well and at a very, very low cost compared to alternatives in the markets. Our management policies and planning practices here at the district are proactive and conservative, and we've consistently been able to demonstrate that for numerous years. Our rates are among the lowest in the nation. Our local customer base, our industrial and commercial customers, are able to pay less for their power than nearly anyone else here in the nation, which makes our service area very attractive economically. And the district also has a very low debt ratio, which we've worked diligently on for over a decade to reduce. Having a low debt ratio allows us a lot of flexibility in our decision making and ability to be responsive to challenging events. The great thing about the district's credit rating is it really is a reflection of no one individual or one group here at the district. It is truly a reflection of the district itself. It takes into consideration so many aspects of our condition, and it's a great opportunity to demonstrate to our customer owners and the nation as a whole that our public utility is healthy and strong and resilient and will be so for many years into the future. It's a great accomplishment, and I'd really like to thank everyone here at the district for working towards that. Any questions?
I remember when I first came on a completely different scenario. And I think we've got here, if I'm not mistaken, through just, you know, steady, disciplined approach moving forward. And that's been on the financial aspect and also with everyone pitching in, and at least from my perspective, and trying to work for the same goal, because there's many layers of the onion that needs to be pulled back when you go in and get a rating. And obviously, if you get to this point, all of them have been exposed, and we've dealt with them. And I just want to say thank you. It's we're really in a good position. Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Heather. Okay, next I'd like to invite John Stoll up. John has a couple updates for us, one on the holiday storm activity And then since it's been 3 weeks since the sport has met, so a lot of activity happened over the holidays with the weather and then also a water system update. John?
Thanks, Kirk. Yeah, John Stoll, Managing Director, Customer Utilities. Kirk's right. I think it was the 19th of December. We got word actually a week before that the cold snap was coming. And it wasn't as drastic as they were forecasting the week before, but it was still pretty significant. I think I saw reports that there were certain areas of our territory where it was minus 13 degrees, minus 8 degrees. We haven't seen that for a long time. And even down in the warmer parts, it was right around zero. So those are opportunities to really see how our system works. So credit the staff. I think we spent some time just doing as much planning as we could, situational awareness, but certainly we did see some impacts. I think the biggest impact right away is we had the outage in Leavenworth. We had a getaway that the getaways come out of the substation and feed a feeder. Due to the load, they failed, so we had to work pretty much all that day on that Friday, or that Thursday, I think it was the 22nd. Fixed one leg of it, and then as soon as we got it up, another leg went down, so the decision was made to go ahead and replace all those legs. So that came back online about 4 in the morning of that Friday. Appreciate all the support from our customers. I think they were, for the most part, understanding. The line crew, man, it was cold out. And for them to work through the night, appreciate what they did. So that kind of kicked off one of the first, you know, big challenges we had. And we went through Christmas pretty quiet. So it was nice to do that. And then of course, we started seeing more snow. And Commissioner McKenna, I heard you talking about Leavenworth, and there's a lot of snow up there. And right now, what we're kind of seeing is a lot of the snow is creating some issues. So we've been experiencing some tree in the lines. Our transmission line that runs from the Chum Stick over to Cole's Corner, it's called Sunnage and Dead Horse. When trees go into that, we have, you know, it's a challenge to get after it, but credit to the crews, they have gone after it and cleared those trees. In fact, as we speak right now, they're doing it today. Fortunate to be able to backfeed from the west side to get those substations back in line. And that happened yesterday, so.
Second time, right?
Second time, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but we're also seeing just a lot of individual stuff. This heavy snow starts sliding off roofs, and it hits customers' weather heads. Their mast, where the power comes in, creates issues. There was another tree in the lineup on Blewett Pass yesterday, too, and that went out. So all in all, you know, the crews are very reactive in getting after it, and it has been certainly a pretty active past 3 weeks. I just looked at the forecast. It kind of looks like we're in a Groundhog Day for the next 10 days. I would imagine this kind of wintry mix, more snow in the higher elevations, but didn't see any of those really dramatic cold snaps. And I think we hit an all-time peak as well during that cold snap. I think it was 560 megawatts, which that's pretty significant.
What was the previous all-time high, do you know?
Yeah, 498. Was it 490?
That was a huge, huge jump then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and if I'm not mistaken, we broke that record twice. Yeah, in close proximity in evening, morning and evening, and then morning again, which is rare.
It was interesting, too. It might have been a bit of a break, but it happened during Christmas break for schools. So we saw that peak really extend out a little bit. So it didn't hit at 7 a.m. It hit more like at 8 or 9, which, you know, certainly I think was a little bit of a benefit. Something I really want to reiterate, and it's for our customers, and it's a challenge we have. When we have it really cold like that, you've probably heard of the term cold load pickup. So when we energize, then if we don't be very systematic and kind of let the system slowly heat back up, too much inrush current, and it just starts melting fuses and things of that nature. So again, kudos to our customers for hanging in there with us, because some of those restorations take a little bit when it's really cold and they have to, you know, take their time and go through it.
John, when you talk about a backfeed, is that a backfeed through our own lines, or does that come from over on the other side?
Comes from the other side, yeah. In fact,
that's an agreement that we have with them that we purchase that.
Yeah. We've got a number of switches up there on the summit, and that from time to time, you know, we rely on Puget Sound Energy and Snohomish PUD to kind of support us in that. Now, granted, they're subject to the same wintery conditions we are, and sometimes they're out as well, but so far it's we've been able to get that support this year.
Randy?
Gary?
I want to take this opportunity to let staff know just how darn proud this commissioner is of them. The description that you're giving, John, is somewhat couched. I think it was a lot worse conditions. And I heard from a number of constituents how pleased they were with the district and that they saw our crews out there. I got virtually zero complaints about being without power, even on those cold weather days. I got accolades for our crews. And I even have a picture sent to me of a lineman on a snow ice encrusted pole.
Oh, geez.
Up there putting things back together so that people could have power. And I got to tell you, it's like the only thing I can relate to how proud I am about everybody in this room and everybody that works at the district would be when my first son was born. Because that was the kind of pride that I had as people were telling me how much they appreciate the efforts of everyone. The linemen, of course, they're in the cold, but everyone who stands behind those linemen to make this work and get that power back on. So kudos to everybody at the PUD. You guys and gals went way beyond, and the public knows it, and they're very appreciative. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
Mr. President? I'm going to apologize right now because you're always going to hear me reflect back for a while as I get the seat warm. But again, when I first came on, I think it was 400 megawatts was kind of a peak load that we were really concerned about. And now that we're up to, what did you say it was,
560.
560. You know, that shows over the time that you've been able to adapt to the growth of the county. And it shows that we're better. We're better for it. We can handle those loads where I just, for some reason, I remember everybody was on pins and needles for 400 megawatts. And that it shows that you've really done a good job. So from my perspective, good job.
I think, well, with the commission's support, you've given us budget. We've rebuilt a lot of feeders. You know about the substations we've got under construction. I tell you, it would be very nice when we get North Shore online because that's an area that's got a lot of growth pressure and load that'll be able to relieve some of it. So, again, appreciate the support you give staff.
You know, as one of the people that was living with the 14-hour shutoff, wondering if my pipes were going to freeze in our well, the only calls I got were from people asking, you know, as a commissioner, can we get our road, you know, can you do something to get the road on or the electricity on our road? And I said, I just kind of joked around with him and said, well, sorry to tell you, but as a commissioner, I'm the last one that gets electricity. So they weren't happy about that. But everybody could see our staff in town working as hard as they could. It was amazing. And so I just wanted to express how appreciative people in the community were. They knew something up was big. It was a big problem, and there was a big load, and people were in need, and people were working as hard to meet that need. So people were very appreciative. Just didn't hear anybody complaining. All right. Except living next to the commissioner. I'm kidding. Being the last one.
Okay, if there's no other questions on this, I'll hit the next topic. I just wanted to, you know, let you all know that some of the supply chain challenges that we've talked about, it's hitting us in an area with our water, our AMR system. It's a drive-by system. There's transmitters that send out reads, but they're powered off a battery. And over the years, we've been replacing them as they start to wind down. But right now, we're really struggling to get these transmitters from the manufacturer. And so what happens is then they quit communicating and we have to rely on a water bill estimate. We've got a pretty sophisticated program that will generate an estimate, but it's still an estimate, and we know our customers don't like those. So we're going to send out a postcard to all our water customers just to let them know that on their bill, if they see a Y underneath the area that says estimate, that that's what's happening, and a phone number if they want to call. And you know, again, we always pride ourselves in working with customers, but we ask for their patience as we work through the supply chain challenges and get these transmitters coming. I know Ron Slabaugh is working hard to make that happen as well.
That's it for manager items.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. Lisa, you want to come try to herd cats?
she does that every day.
Talk about, yeah, really.
Talk about scope change.
Exactly. All right. So
for Kelly's benefit, Lisa really manages our travel calendar, and we give her fits, and it's not her fault. It's us, because we keep change on her. And you'll see that today, by the way, just so you know.
This meeting is helpful for me and hopefully for all of you as well. So if you want something changed, now is a good time to let me know. I can work on it afterwards if dates aren't correct or anything at all. Just let me know. I'm happy to work through all of that. So this week we have Waputa, and most of the rooms are at Town Place with one in Doubletree. And in February, Town Place was already booked, so I went ahead and booked all your rooms at the Doubletree, so let me know if the dates need to be changed or...
You can cancel me for February. I won't be there.
Okay, thank you.
And Lisa, for me, I've been staying at Doubletree, and that's where I'll stay from here on.
Okay, thank you. They actually have been easier to deal with, getting confirmation numbers and being able to log in online and verify reservations. The Town Place couldn't even send me a confirmation. Like, I had to change dates, and they told me it was updated, it's the same confirmation number, but they couldn't send me something to show you what your dates were. So, makes me nervous, and if I were you, I would be nervous as well to not have on paper what, you know, your check-in and check-out dates are. So, anyway, seems like Doubletree, I don't know, is it nicer? It's further away.
It's further away. I actually like the facility better. Parking is a nightmare, but it's closer to the restaurants we like in the evening, that, at least from my perspective.
Okay, so...
But you do have to walk through town or drive through town to get to the association. It's about a mile to the association office. And it used to be a nice walk.
Not that way anymore.
Huh?
It changed.
Not quite as nice. You know, Starbucks shut down in downtown Olympia.
Oh, really? Wow. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Commissioner Arsenault, do you have a preference?
No. I really don't. Thank you.
Okay.
So.
I may just start booking at the Doubletree then, and
fine.
If somebody wants me to change, just let me know, and I try to book them ahead because so many people are there during these times. So, you know, you need a place to sleep.
The only thing I see on here, Lisa, is for February, if you would, you've got me coming in on the 14th and out on the 17th. Mm-hmm. If you could have me come in on the 13th, please.
Okay.
I have business in town. Early in the morning on the 14th.
Okay, great. And then later in February, we have the legislative rally. I have everyone registered with for the WAPUTA events and the APPA events. Good. And Commissioner Arsenault is at the Mayflower. Everyone else is at the Madison.
Question. How far away is the Madison from the Mayflower?
Not sure.
It's a few blocks.
Just a couple blocks.
It's a few blocks. The conference hotel is the Mayflower, but right. That usually fills up before right. You know, before 6 a.m. West Coast time. And so, but it's only a couple blocks.
Okay. I just was curious. I knew.
And WAPUTA has there's a WAPUTA breakfast on the Tuesday morning. And that will be held at the Madison. WAPUTA reserved a block at the Madison.
Okay. So
the state people will be there.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I just was. Yep. I know where the Mayflower is, but I wasn't quite sure where the Madison was.
Yeah, they opened that block of rooms on East Coast time, and a lot of utilities hold a lot of rooms. So by the time we
right.
get to work, they're booked and full. So. Okay. But I think the WAPUTA employees stay there as well, so
right.
I think that works out. I have forwarded to your calendars all of these hotel reservations, flights. So if you don't see them on your calendar, you want them listed, posted in a different way, just let me know. We'll work through it together. And.
Nope, thanks.
Anything else? I think that's as far as I have room to
tell. Is it March WAPUTA is going to be Zoom only? Is that right, Gary?
Oh, yeah.
My understanding is that's February, but we'll confirm that.
February is Zoom only?
That's my understanding. We'll confirm it when we're in Olympia later this week.
No wonder rooms were available.
Right. We'll let you know for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. No one.
That was too easy. For sure. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Okay. Commission items. Association travel. Please bear with me. I know all of you are aware I've had individual conversations in the last few days, sort of probing people's desires.
Travel or representation?
Association representation.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I'll ask for other commission items if there are any other. What I think I heard from everybody is. We start on district association and organizations, Commissioner McKenna would desire to elevate his level of activity at APPA, and I'm suggesting that he be our designated point person, which would make him our representative when we go to the national conference. As I told him, it would make him have to attend the board meeting where the rest of us can socialize so that
or leave.
Yeah. and I would be and Gary Arsenault, for those who aren't aware, has been appointed to the Policymakers, which is a fantastic policy oriented group that meets by phone on a monthly basis and twice a year in DC, one of them being at the fly in this February, the other one being in July. And so Gary will take on that role. I would like to remain as an alternate and still retain involvement on the APPA, but Gary's taking the role on for Policymakers. Energy Northwest, I heard Gary indicate a willingness to step up and be the delegate there. And unless somebody else is desirous of being the alternate, I would be willing to be the alternate. Okay, and I think that I'm hope I had this in my car, all sort of sketched out, and I don't believe Northwest Public Power. We have in the past asked a commissioner to sort of take the lead, go to the conference, and keep us plugged in with NWPPA. We don't necessarily have the opportunity to be on the board of directors unless they have an opening because it's a Northwest organization. But once again, Gary has indicated a willingness and an interest in connecting with Northwest Public Power. So I've asked Gary to be our point person on that. Wapuda organizations and energy committee, I've asked Karnan, knowing his interest and desire and the studying that he's done, if he would be willing to be the our delegate to the energy committee, and he has indicated he would. Water committee, is Commissioner Congdon was that person, and I have penciled my name in there. Unless there's somebody that really has an interest and would like to step in, that the water is, I'm going to be talking with Ron Slaybaugh also about getting him back maybe a little bit more engaged, because he is so good. And this is not necessarily a commissioner-driven group. It's Ron's the one with the expertise in our organization, and we all know that.
Yeah.
So telecom, Commissioner Arsenault has been the chair of that and has been deeply involved and would like to stay active in telecom. I've asked Kelly Allen if she, knowing she is new, and I said the fastest way to get up to speed on everything Wapuda does is by engaging with government relations and communications, and she has agreed. Commissioner Education and Roundtable, Commissioner McKenna has indicated a desire to continue with that, and which is great in my book. We've had, for those in the room that aren't aware, we have had a really high level of engagement with that for the last 15 years, ever since Commissioner Bowles really sort of redesigned that committee on behalf of Wapuda and made it what it is today. And so we've got a lot of ownership in that. And as in the past, the board of directors, our commission has said the board president should be the delegate to the board of directors, except when we have a state officer. And that we've been really fortunate the last 15 years to have it had a state officer for probably, 12 of those 14 years, because we've had maybe unique in the history of the PUD Association. At one moment in time, we had three current or past presidents on our commission at the same time. And our current president is with us today. So yeah. So anyway, Gary and I will share that role this year of the board of directors. I've got still have him listed as the delegate because he's an officer, but I will be attending those meetings to make sure I stay apprised. Budget committee, that is by invitation, and the president will be making that invitation, and that will be Dave McKenzie will be making those invitations?
Yes.
Yeah. And same with the strategic planning. We don't have a direct role in selecting a member. That's done by the structure of Wapuda. So, have I covered them all?
One more, regional water.
Ah, yeah. You've been that for how long?
A long time.
Yeah, I think I can remember that.
That's interesting because right now, at this moment in time on our commission, we don't have anybody living in really close proximity to Wenatchee anymore. And that's where the meetings are all held.
Yes.
Yeah. How often are they held?
Quarterly.
Do we have a volunteer? Okay, well, for Kelly's benefit, regional water, the PUD partners with East Wenatchee Water District in the city of Wenatchee in operating the regional water system that stretches from Monitor to where do you live?
Forest Ridge.
Forest Ridge, up by Mission Ridge, all the way well into East Wenatchee. So the regional water system, all capital decisions are made
regionally by the three entities. The management of it is done primarily by City of Wenatchee?
City of Wenatchee,
yeah.
Do we have staff to participate in that?
Ron Slabaugh. But we found out that it is of extreme importance and value to have an elected representative in that capacity.
If Gary didn't want to do it, with my experience with water, with the Shasta Water District and all those things.
You are on.
I would like to take that.
You are on.
Thank you, Carnan.
I think it's kind of like the cemetery district.
Nobody wants it, and you're there for life.
I got it. You're not fooling me.
I'm going to expand a little on what Randy had said, only to say that the city is represented by the mayor.
Yeah.
So the mayor conducts those meetings, and so it is important to have an elected official from the PUD that is in the audience.
No, I think you did a great job, Gary, being there and a representative, but I couldn't agree more having an elected there to bring back information and a little different perspective. So, yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
It's also helpful from the standpoint of each of the entities. When decisions are made, they all have to make those decisions amongst their boards or their organizations. And
right.
So it's helpful to have a board member from that regard as decisions get made here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, I think Ron and I work together real good. So,
by the way, you know, this is the same way that it happened about 8 years ago. I was on the water committee forever, and Gary came on, and I saw sucker printed on his face.
Yeah.
Taking 8 years of showers to get that off my forehead.
I'm saying, you're not fooling me. I just don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Gary, for that. Anything else on commissioner association representation? Any other commissioner items?
I have something.
Okay.
That I'm going to echo what has already been said in terms of welcoming our new commissioners, and really excited. I feel lots of new energy, high energy, and that's exciting. And it's also addictive. So I thank you for re-energizing me this morning by just being in your presence. Appreciate that. Also like to thank our past commissioners, that Commissioner Boltz and Commissioner Congdon, having served and in many ways sacrificed their personal life, missing vacations and ball games with grandkids and in order to serve the PUD. And so I really want to reach out and thank them for all of their sacrifice, their service, and their guidance. I know as a new commissioner, I was benefited greatly by their mentoring and helping me to understand and grasp the magnitude of many issues that I really didn't understand as a new commissioner. So I want to thank them for that. The other thing is, this morning, Carnan, I see you have your PUD pen. You must have resurrected that from years past.
Never came off. It was there.
Well, Kelly, you don't have one, and so I would like to present you with a Chelan PUD pin for your lapel.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Oh,
mine's old. Mine's old style.
So, welcome aboard.
Old style.
Yes, an old style.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I just want to say one thing, Gary. On all of this, I've learned a couple of things, a couple of things have been highlighted. For one thing, never say never. Okay. And also be careful what you ask for. You might get it. So here we are. And so I'm just real thankful that I've had the opportunity. Not many people get a second chance at life or decisions or whatever. And I certainly want to take this chance and be better. So thanks again.
I just have a couple of items. For commissioners, NWPPA always has good articles in it. I usually pick up a gem or two. And Kelly, I was thinking of you on this one, and well, actually for all of us when I first read it. One, I didn't remember what WIPP meant. It's Women in Public Power. They have a conference. It's coming up. But the article is When Waiting Isn't Wise. In other words, We live in chaotic times, and sometimes we say, oh, I don't think we'll make a decision on this one item, or we're not going to address it. Let's just hold off and wait. And doing nothing is a choice, and doing nothing has consequences. And sometimes we have to be courageous and delve into tough subjects anyway. And I just thought this was a really good article, very challenging to read. And when I found out she is the keynote speaker at the Women in Public Power Conference this year, I just thought you might want to check that out too and get familiar with that organization. And then the last one, the last article I read that I think I were doing some EV, electrical vehicle discussion down, is it next month maybe? We're getting John Stoll, or not John, it was Sean. Andrew's going to do some presenting. But there, electrical vehicle and communication and kind of things the boards need to think about with electrification, and it might be a good quick read before we have the presentation at next month's board meeting, so in preparation for that. That's all I have, Randy.
All right.
Mr. President?
Yes.
If I might.
You bet.
I know I'm kind of the wild card. Nobody knows me. No, Karnan, you guys have a history. And I just wanted to take a moment to share, you know, when John was talking about the hard work and determination of our staff, and you spoke to that, Gary, as well. That is really what got me involved and wanting to be part of this commission. For many of you, you may not know, but when I was on the city council for Chelan, you know, the North Shore substation has been an issue, and I got to be part of a focus group there. As we all know, that was a tough thing for the PUD. A lot of fire in that community right there. A lot going on, and not very favorable with regard to the PUD at that point. However, what I got to see was an organization that was committed to the community, who believed in transparency, integrity, and I got to be part of that focus group and really get to connect with some of the leadership of this team. And, you know, I've always been taught that if you want to be a better person, you got to surround yourself by better people. And I really felt that through the organization, you guys are a cream of the crop. It was nothing but professionals, and I feel completely honored to be here today. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Wow. It would have been enough, you know, to sell yourself to us to let us know that you're from Pinedale, Wyoming.
Yes.
I know exactly where that is.
Best place in the world.
Sank my canoe in Pinedale.
Let you sink
I broke my canoe in half in Pinedale.
Fremont Lake?
No, it was out on the water the near Pinedale. How close is the Salmon River, or not the Salmon River, the Snake River fork right there?
Like Green River area?
So I thought Pinedale is just south of Yellowstone. Maybe I don't know where Pinedale is.
No, you're right. It is south, but I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of whitewater rafting there. And some fools take their canoes down.
You haven't done the Chelan Gorge, I take
it. It's on his bucket list.
Yeah. All
right.
No.
Next fall.
Okay. Since I know staff's... We're driving staff nuts, but we're having fun. So, anything else for commissioner items? How about follow-up on delegation of action items?
Don't have any follow-up from prior items to report on today, and no new ones.
No new ones today. Is there any additional public comment? Are there any other matters of general business that may necessarily come before the commission? And I think that calls for pictures.
I think so.
So what do you want?
I
think
they can come to the flag. Oh, you don't want to picture this way?
Okay. This is the other business.
Official.
Whatever, yes. Whatever, it's what you want that's important. Yeah.
Whatever you want in there. Randy, you want to scoot over?
Okay, I'll get a little closer.
Kirk? Kirk, where are you?
He's giving us our moment.
Thank you.
He's giving us our moment in the sun.
We can do that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Kirk, would you join us?
Yeah.
Stand up and start moving.
So unless
we take a quick break before we get started.
Quick break? Okay, 5-minute break before we start. Okay, and before we do that, okay, I will do it. So at this time, following a 5-minute break, recording's still on, right? We will move into executive session to discuss with legal counsel agency enforcement actions, litigation, potential litigation to which the district or its board is or is likely to become a party, and or legal risks as authorized by the RCWs, to consider the selection of a site for the acquisition of real estate by lease or purchase when public knowledge regarding such consideration would cause a likelihood of increased price as authorized by the RCWs, to consider the minimum price at which real estate will be offered for sale or lease when public knowledge regarding such consideration would cause the likelihood of decreased price as authorized by the RCWs, and review the performance of a public employee as authorized by the RCWs for approximately 90 minutes.
Okay. That was a mouthful.
We're coming out of executive session. No decisions were made. No votes were taken. We're recessing for lunch. We'll be returning at 1:05 p.m., and we will need some additional time for our executive session. We will go into executive session for approximately 1 hour at that time.
Thanks. That's really the reason I want to be long.
It is 2:10 Monday afternoon. We're coming out of executive session. No votes were taken. No decisions were made. Is there any other business to come before the PUD Commission? Hearing none, we stand adjourned.